Defining moments.
As you well know, Canada is a bilingual country, but my accent is not French. It is old good Polish accent, as that is where my wife and me are from originally. Actually, I used to be shy by my accent, but now I love it. I love it because it identifies my background right away. If you would grow up in Poland in the 80s, or perhaps even at the present time, and if you would enter a typical Polish house, first thing that you would notice would be a crucifix on a wall. This identifies straight away that this household are Catholics. At that time, majority of Polish people were Catholics. But at my parents' house, there was not cross. Instead, there was something else on the kitchen wall, right across from the front door, so no one could miss. It was a plaque with those words. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Taken from Joshua 24:14. From very young age, we search for something to define us. We dress certain way to fit in. We play sports or music to pursue different hobbies, to express who we are. People are happier when they have something that they are living for, something they are passionate about. And we are all attracted to people who are passionate, who brighten up when they talk about what they love. This could be their job, their hobby, art, or their travels. We all wanted our life to be meaningful. We want to define ourselves with something lasting. We want to make a mark. We want our existence to be remembered. Today, I would like to talk to you about defining moments in life. And I promise that Brother Rick and me, we didn't get together and say, that's the theme for the day. This inner desire of wanting our lives matter is a hidden driving force behind many of our decisions and actions. So we go through life to try to get to those big defining moments, like our education, our job or career, our consecration to the Lord, our marriage, having children. Those are big moments that define us. Those moments are often public. We share with others. In fact, those moments define us often to others. But what defines us to ourselves? What defines us in our own eyes, or even more, in the eyes of our Lord? Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is by any hurtful way in me, and lead me in everlasting way. This is a profound prayer and pursuit for what it gives us an inner peace and put us in ease with ourselves and with our Creator. Give us not only our daily happiness, but the close and intimate relationship with our Lord. The moments that defy us to ourselves are often unnoticed by others. These are the in-between steps, small moments that touch our heart and bring change. Life is a series of moments, some good and some not so good. There are moments that we want to remember forever, and others that we rather forget. Life is composed but of small moments, simple gestures that touch us. The moment you saw someone for the first time, a single sentence that someone said that stayed with you till the rest of your days. One word, one touch, one song, one look. Something seemingly small, but they really stay with us. Often we don't need to do anything huge. A small act, small gesture can have a massive impact. Even here at this convention, all we'll take home will be just few thoughts and few moments that touch us. My daughter Sarah sent me text this morning wishing me Lord's blessing on the service, and she says, "Dad, remember, this could be someone's defining moment." Most moments pass by, and we are not deeply impacted by them. Then, there are those other moments that are life-altering, life-changing. When we know that because of this moment, we will never be the same. It may happen to us that we witness something that is greater than we are, greater than what we can imagine or dream of. We may meet God on our way. When you meet God, when you fall in love with Him, this will create another kind of an energy within you. New kind of love within you that wants us to be better than we are. The kind of love that wants us to change. And these are the moments that define us. Defining moments mold, shape, and direct our lives. When we consecrate our life to God, we find a meaning and purpose of life. God's purpose for our life is to bring us into an intimate, closeness with Him. And the highest form of closeness with God is the presence of His Spirit in our minds and in our hearts. This means that God desires to express Himself throughout our lives. And as the Lord's people, it is required of us that we will be sensitive to those defining moments and respond to them as God placed them before us on a path of our life. The dictionary definition of defining moment is a point at which the essential nature of character of person is revealed or identified. Though it is not a biblical phrase, there are many defining moments in the scriptures that determine the character that is revealed under pressure of those who desire to live godly. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because to be revealed with fire. Today, I would like to share with you two biblical examples, one from Old Testament and one from New Testament. Examples of such defining moments, trusting that you will be able to relate to them. or even find traces of yourselves in them. On the day I called, you answered me. David praised God in Psalm 138, verse 3. But what image comes to your mind when you think of someone who was called by God? Once, a wandering shepherd and Almighty God became friends. Yahweh and Abraham, a dust of desert, men in search of faith, discovered what infinite trust means. Abraham has heard his name outside the gates of the city. Abram, Abram. Oh, how frightened was the sound of his own name when God spoke to him for the first time. His knees became weak in the presence of the Almighty. Abraham could not say a single word at this first meeting. In the morning, he left his hometown for a journey without set destination, following the voice of his call. In the days to follow, with anticipation, Abraham was waiting for a sign, for hours and hours staring into a desert sky, thirsting just for a few words. They talk more, and they talk more often. At dawn, when the stars were fading out, he was coming back to his tent. His heart was overwhelmed with love and adoration to God. And they become friends. And although it was just another ordinary day, as any other, Abraham became a man of faith. Abraham, sounded familiar voice, here I am. Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. At first he did not understand. This cannot be real. Then he felt the heavy heat that pushed him down to the ground. His empty eyes look into a starless, dark sky. He was ready to pick up fight for life and death, but he was too weak. Why are you angry with me, O Lord? What have I done that you punish me so severely? Tell me, what happened between us? Please tell me something, tell me anything. Not a sound, not even a blank of light, only a dark, holy sky. He lifted up his face one more time. This time he could not hold back his tears. A dry desert ground received the tears of a grievous father. It was a sunrise above the land of Moriah. Isaac could hardly follow his old father. Something is wrong with my dad, he thought. Since he left, he hardly said a word. He seems to be so confused. He walks so slowly. I don't even know if I can carry the load of the wood much longer. He has even forgotten the burnt offering. Father, Father, we have forgotten the lamb. God will provide for himself the lamb, my son. With enthusiasm, Isaac gathered stones and built an altar. On it, he laid the wood that he brought with him. And in the meantime, his dad was preparing the fire. And just about as he was ready to turn around and shout, all is ready, Father, he felt the strength of his father binding him quickly. Abraham picked up his son and squeezed him hard against his chest, like he wanted to give him his own heart. And when he raised the blade of his knife, his last thought perhaps was, "Do you know how much you mean to me, my Lord?" First Peter 1:8-9. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you did not see him now, you believe in him. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul." How is it in your life? How did you hear the voice of your call? Was it a single moment, urge out of nowhere? Or perhaps a lengthy thought process? Or maybe turn of events that made you decide, "This is what I must do. This is who I am." For some of us, this call may be so vivid. It may be not. Maybe it was more like a gentle draw in a direction towards God. To hear the voice of this calling is a defining moment of life. It is the beginning of a spiritual journey, a new beginning. It is a moment in which God presents to us with a possibility to transform us from a mere existence to a meaningful existence. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old thing passed away. Behold, new things have come." This is a defining moment of our life. In this age, we have the opportunity to become a members of the new creation, a privilege to receive spiritual and heavenly blessings. When Abraham was called, he was called to friendship with God. Yet, when we are called today, during this gospel age, we are called to a very real and intimate father-son relationship with God. Hebrews 11:40. "Because God has provided something better for you, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." There are times in our life when we stand in the presence of God. And these are the moments that we don't want to miss. Every day, every minute of our life has such a potential if you are sensitive to His voice. In life, when we meet someone, very few words are needed to feel the bond, to feel the connection. Usually, our gestures, our reaction speaks louder than anything else. Similarly, in our meeting with our Creator, we speak to Him in our reactions, in our willingness to submit our wills, to transform our minds and our hearts. All defining moments start within us, in our mind. Whatever we allow to fill our minds will eventually show up in our lives. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart, mind, with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life, which are our experiences and events." We could almost say, "Show me your mind and I show you your future." We cannot fill our mind with negative thinking and images, and then expect to be filled with peace of God and trust in His promises. We need to prepare and train our mind for the defining moments to occur. Prior to the first time when Abraham heard his voice outside the gates of the city, I'm sure that for hours and hours he was meditating, piercing the sky, searching for a creator that was real, unlike the gods and the images of Ur. We need to allow our mind to be transformed. And when we say our mind, we mean with all its components, which is our intellect, the mind's library, our capacity to learn and process information, and then to apply to gain wisdom. Our imagination, the eye of our mind, the capacity to create possibilities, new ideas, so then we can realize them. Our memory, the capacity to recall information, experiences, events, feelings, and thoughts. The essence, who we really are. Our emotions, the voice of our mind. Our capacity to experience inner passions in relationship to events, memories, experiences, and thoughts. We have the ability to feel. Emotions are the voice of our thoughts. They tell us what and how we think. Then finally, our will. Our capacity to consider information, make distinctions and judgments between conflicting opinion and viewpoints. And we have the ability to choose. Not to miss the defining moments, we need to develop within ourselves a new mind. Mindset with all its components, in tune with our Heavenly Father, so we can recognize His voice when He speaks to us. If then you were raised with Christ, seek things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Just like Abraham did. When he set his mind on high, searching and thirsting for God, Apostle Paul gave us the list of defining moments for Abraham in Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Verse 9, by faith, he lived as an alien. Verse 10, for he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Jesus himself refers this in John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham viewed things through the eyes of faith. He grasped the future by going to a foreign land, defining moment, by offering his son Isaac, another defining moment. For those who live according to flesh, set their mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to spirit, set their mind on things of the spirit. Romans 8:5. Apostle Paul is telling us to exchange our earthly way of thinking for Christ-centered thinking. We must set our minds. Mindsets are not just a brief and momentary thought or idea. Mindset is a deeply entrenched pattern of thinking that is developed over time. It results from repeatedly thinking, obsessively thinking about something in a particular way until that perspective becomes second nature to us. Mindsets are hard to change. This is good and bad. Good if your mindset is positive and based on scriptures. However, to change negative mindset, we need to exchange our old thoughts for new ones. We may even have to go to the extreme as Abraham did when we need to change our environment. We must feed our heart and mind on the truth of God's word and keep that truth within ourselves until it replaces our old mindset. Paul in Colossians 3, starting verse 8, instruct us what kind of negative thoughts and behaviors we need to put off, and what new thoughts and new behaviors we need to put on. But now you yourself are put off all those anger, wrath, malice, and put on new man who is renewing knowledge. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. But above all those things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Like Abraham, we have to set our mind on God. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, O Lord. Psalm 19, verse 14. The meditations of our hearts. The gurus and philosophers of East teach us, that meditation means emptying your mind, let it go. But the scriptures never tell us to empty our minds. Instead of, we are to fill it with God's word. Biblical meditation is a practice of focusing our minds on Jesus and on those great and precious promises. The Psalm 19:14 that we just quoted. The word meditation comes from a Hebrew word which means repeatedly striking the strings of harp, as to making lasting sounds. Same word is used in Psalm 92, verse 3, upon the instruments of 10 strings, upon the harp with solemn sound. And the word heart in this psalm is a Hebrew word that for the core of our soul, our thought, imagination, and memory. Those two words combined together, they create a powerful image of what happens when we focus on certain things or a particular idea or thoughts. David was actually praying that the sounds of his mind would be acceptable in the sight of God. When we think about something for an extensive period of time, we create a sound in our mind. This sound has a way to dominate our life, our perceptual life, and eventually making us sensitive to the things which are in tune in that sound. Positive or negative, right or wrong, the focus of our heart, the meditations will begin to attract people, circumstances, and feelings that are in tune with the pitch of the sound of our mind. Whatever we fill up in our mind will eventually show up in our life. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, pure and lovely, admirable. Think about those things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Then the peace of God be with you. Our thoughts will attract the defining moments that will transform us. The defining moments have one thing in common. They bring change, and they leave us different than when we were before. Some defining moments are slight, and some are huge. The good moments are easy to take in. In fact, we welcome them with open arms. But what about the moments that we rather erase from our memory? What about the moments that break us, that break our spirit, our courage, or even break our faith? What do we do with those moments? This brings us to the second example I would like to share with you today. It's from New Testament, found in Mark chapter 14, verse 66 to 72. And while Peter was down in the open square of the building, one of the servants' girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself by the fire, she gave him a look and said to him, "Were you with the Nazarene even Jesus?" But he said, "Neither know or understand what you are saying." And he went out the doorway. It came the cry of cock. And the girl saw him and said again to those who were near, "This one is one of them." But again he was denying it. And after a little time, again those who were near said to Peter, "Truly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." And with curses and oaths he said, "I don't know this man that you are talking about." And at the same time, the cock gave a second cry. And it came to Peter's mind how Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock cries second time, you will deny me three times." And at that time, he was overcome with weeping. The cock crows in everyone's life at least once. And when it does, the sound is so strong that breaks our heart. Those are defining moments of our life. God rejects no one without warning. When the 12 sat with Jesus to celebrate the Jewish Passover, Jesus had his plan all laid out in his head. He knew exactly what to do. Jesus took a piece of bread, dip in a sauce, and give to his friend. Defining moment. It was still not too late. The last cry of the cock. Defining moment for Judas. The scriptures inform us that when Judas reached for the bread, Satan entered his heart. Did you ever wonder what this man could have been if he would made other choice? If he could come to grips with himself and his master, what inner wisdom would he gain? What wisdom will he pass on to us? How many books would he write? And so is with every one of us. Lord never rejects anyone without warning. The cock crows at least once in everyone's life. There is always course of recovery. The potential is always there. Happy is man that doesn't allow the cock to cry a second time. There at the open square of the building was a defining moment for Peter. Peter was a brave man. When they were leaving the upper room, everyone knew something is about to happen, something horrific. Peter said, "Lord, we have two swords." Then when Jesus woke up his sleeping disciples in the garden, Peter was sleeping next to his sword. And when the fatal moment came, when Peter saw lights and torches, he did not hesitate to defend his master. When our Lord spoke about his death, I'm sure Peter always imagined that he will stand next to the one he loved, and together they will live for life and fight for life and death. But Peter could never foresee that he will have to go out without resistance, without defense, without word. Isaiah 53:7, "He opened not his mouth as a lamb that is led to a slaughter." And there at the open square of the building, the sound of the crowing cock broke Peter's heart. How many times in our lives tears have fallen, perhaps without control. I know it happened to me. Tears that could not be contained. Our heart has to break. Otherwise, we'll never feel, we'll never repent. We could not be ready to receive his mercy and his grace. Peter could not bear the eyes of his Lord at the square of the building. But when they met again at the Galilean Sea, when Peter was busy throwing his net, someone said, "It is the Lord." Without hesitation, Peter threw himself into the sea. Defining moment for Peter. It was not the same brave Peter as before. This Peter did not need his sword. This Peter was stripped of his boldness and hardness. He was not the same at all. This was not even the same Peter as they met the first time when he said, "Depart from me, O Lord, because I'm a sinful man." Only one simple question. "Peter, do you agape me?" Defining moment. Lord, touches our heart, our inmost part. He sends our way moments that define us, that we may begin to feel that we may be ready to receive his mercy, his grace, his love. He doesn't touch anyone who cannot be victorious. The road less traveled is always open for us. The high road is always for us to choose. We may lose a little bit time or bite a little bit humility, but Father is waiting for us with open arms, as Brother Tom pointed out yesterday. May we always choose the higher road. There is our home. It is not what happens in our lives that defines us, but rather how we respond to what it happens. May the cock never crow second time for you. Amen.